some people say that David, actually, one of the reasons that he wasn't even in the lineup whenever Samuel came to anoint the king is because some say that David was an illegitimate son. And so when he said, hey, line up all your sons, he's like, I'm not even going to put David in there. But regardless, we don't really know that for certain, but regardless, David is not in the lineup. Like, can you imagine? So I want to say this about like father wounds and about rejection and all of those things. Like, David had reason to have a father wound. But I want to say this, and I feel like this is a word for some of you. Some of you need to rewire your thinking on rejection, because all of the greats of God were rejected. And this is why when I was sharing with you in regards to like offense, is that like if you're looking for glory, look for reasons to get over offense. Because all of the greats of God, actually the rejection, I believe that the reason they were rejected was because they were called by God, actually. So David was called by God, so he was rejected. Joseph was called by God, so he was rejected. Moses was called by God, so he was rejected. Jesus was called by God, so he was rejected. So if you've experienced rejection, I want to encourage you, you're probably called by God.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Braveheart Podcast. It's Wesley here. Our mission is to proclaim and live out the gospel as happy and free messengers who walk like Jesus, and to invite others to join us on this beautiful journey of following him. For free video courses and other resources to help you grow in your faith, check out our website, braveheart.run. There's a new course called The Majesty of the Gospel that we've been releasing new episodes of week by week. It's free, so check it out and be blessed. In this week's episode, Christy Lewis is opening up her heart and life to us and revealing the God who sees. This is such a needed word for the body of Christ right now, so I pray that you receive it and with it, receive the love of the Lord for you. Enjoy.
As I was driving up here, I was getting a little emotional, a little teary, thinking about sharing with y'all. Because the Lord has given me, the Lord periodically will speak this scripture to me. And it's when Jesus says that he didn't lose one that the Father had given him. It's talking about in John 17, when Jesus is praying for his followers, he says, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for the ones that you've given me from the world. And so he had this like heart for his people that was so like, he was so, his heart was so tender towards the ones the Father had given him. And he said, I don't want to lose one that you've given me. And I was driving up here and I was just thinking about how the Lord, at least for a period of time, has given y'all to Peter and me. And my genuine heart is that I don't want to lose one that the Father has given us. And I'm saying that because in this world, you will have trouble. And if you're not having it now, you will have it. And the temptation when you have trouble is to turn from the Lord, question the Lord, whatever it is. And my heart is that God, Lord, let me not lose one that you've given us. And so my desire for y'all is that you'd be seen and known, and that you would like, there would be longevity to your life in God. I noticed this yesterday, and this will tie into, I'll share what my teaching is going to be, I think. And it's twofold. We did, before the intensive started, Peter had us like write out some different like topics that we wanted to discuss based on who Jesus is. And so I wrote, I want to talk about how Jesus is the delight of the Father and how Jesus is the head of the body and what that means for us. And so today I'm going to kind of talk about Jesus being the delight of the Father and Jesus being the head of the body and what that means for us. And one thing that means is that, A, each one of you is the delight of the Father, uniquely, exactly how you were created. And then the way he's created you, he's hardwired you to be together in a family that he is putting together. And every single one of you is so, so, so important. And that's why I don't want to lose one that the Father has given us, because everyone's needed. And, you know, the Lord speaks to me a lot through circumstances. It was funny with the Ray show last night and how God was speaking to us through that, or really confirming what the Lord was speaking that day. But something else happened last night, and it was like the Lord was like, zone into that, pay attention to that. And Peter and I also watch soccer highlights pretty regularly at night. And he's really a blessed man, because I love sports, and like, so he is very fortunate, because I like watching sports with him, and like, it works well. Like, I'm not like, oh, like, I'm like, oh yay, like, who's winning, you know? So anyways, just so y'all know, Peter's first professional soccer goal ever scored came after our first ever kiss. So it's just important for everybody to know. So that'll be in the book. So that's important. That's important for y'all to know. Anyways, so we're watching a soccer game last night, and this is like a super like big soccer game. It's called the Champions League. It's the best teams in Europe, and they're playing. It's like the World Series, right, in baseball, but it's soccer and it's in Europe. Okay, so anyways, these two teams are squaring off, and one team comes in, Barcelona's coming in, and they're already ahead. So they play two games, okay, and then it's the combined score of both games. Is this funny that I'm doing this?
You're talking about this.
So there's two games, and they take the combined score of both games. Okay, there's a word for some of y'all right now. Okay, they take the combined score of both games, and then the winner is like who has the most points after both games. Okay, so Barcelona comes in and they're winning, and it's they had beat, babe, who was the other team? PSG, it's a French team, okay? So Barcelona had beat PSG, whatever. They came in 3-2 up, right? Okay, so Barcelona's ahead, right? So you're thinking, okay, this is good for Barcelona. Well, towards the very beginning of the game, the second game, one of the Barcelona guys gets a red card, which means he gets automatically kicked out of the game.
Oh, no.
Okay, Barcelona's an incredible team, okay? But they're one man down, and they end up losing. And not just losing to where, like, okay, now they're tied. They actually lost the whole thing. Wow. And so the final score, actually, PSG ends up winning because Barca was a man down for, like, 80% of the second game, okay? And the Lord was like, pay attention. They were one man down, and that's why they lost. If they had a full roster, they would have won. But they were one man down. And so
we're going home.
I'm serious.
So what I'm saying is this: no matter how good your team is, if there's a man missing, you're going to lose. And I'm saying that because the body of Christ, I believe that there are people and they are on the bench and they're sidelined, and our team is missing some key players. I'm going to tell you a little bit why I think we're missing some key players. Okay. But I'm saying that because we need every player. We need every player. And even if you've got a really, really good team, but you're missing your, you know, center back, like there's, like, you need your center back, you know? So anyways, I felt that that was important to share. And I'm sharing that because I don't know if there's anybody in the room who is feeling sidelined, or I don't know if you're going to come across people who are like, they're on the bench and you're called to bring them back into the game. But the thing is that Jesus is coming back for a full, pure, spotless bride who's not missing any body parts.
Wow.
And so that's why I'm saying that we have to understand Jesus being the delight of the Father, and we're in Jesus. So how we are is perfect for God. And then he's putting us together so that his body can be whole and complete and functioning in a whole and complete way. So anyways, that gives a little context for what I'm going to share. And I want to share too that the Lord in general wants to give each one of you words from heaven. Alzavian talked last week about the word, Jesus being the word, and him implanting the word in our hearts. And he does that through his written word. He does that with the word of the gospel, with the word of Christ. And I also think he gives us like specific words that are like our heartbeat, if that makes sense. Like they're his unique words to us, like his personal revelation to us. For me, it is the fact that, I'm sharing it today, but it's Jesus being the delight of the Father and him putting us in family and how that makes us relate to one another. Like that's a deep word in my heart that like he's put there ever since I've known him. Like, and the thing that's so important about these words that he puts inside of us is that those words get tested. And so I want to give each one of you the courage to like have longevity, like whatever is most precious, whatever he's deposited inside of you, that's like, you know, your soapbox, you're like the thing that you like are like, it's this, it's God is this. He's, you know, like God is love, or God is God, the fear of the Lord, or whatever it is that's precious to you that like he's implanted inside of you. Like that word is going to get tested. And it says that in Matthew, Alzavian referred to it. It's the word of God, and it can fall on different kinds of soil. And the key is, are you going to like let that word last? Because the reality is that word's going to get tested. And if it's not tested yet, it will get tested. And so even what I'm sharing with you today, like it's been radically tested. And not only does the word get tested, but also the word tests you. In Psalm 105, when it talks about Joseph, it says that until it was time to fulfill the word, I'm actually going to share it because I don't want to misquote it. And it says different things in different translations. But it says that of Joseph, it says, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. So Joseph received this word in the beginning, but until it was time to actually fulfill it, his character was tested. And babe, will you read that to me in your translation? Psalm 105:19.
Yeah, the sentence starts, his feet were hurt with fetters, his neck was put in a collar of iron, until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him.
Until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. So the word inside of you will be tested, like it says in the book of Matthew. It's like, are you going to hold on to it when things, like when everything is contrary to it? And then also that word will test you. Wow. And the only way to like... to handle these various trials and tribulations and the word being tested is to cling to the word, which is Jesus. And I would say even more than to cling to the word, which is Jesus, it's to realize that he's clinging to you.
Yeah.
To realize that before you ever were, he was.
Yeah.
Before you ever could cling, he was clinging. Before you were ever formed, he was loving. That is the word. Jesus is the word. Before you were ever, he was. And so then it's like not so much even about your clinging and you're like, I gotta hold on to this or I'm, it's like, oh my gosh, he's clinging to me. Yes. Oh my gosh, he was formed before me. Yeah. Oh my gosh, he knew before I did. And this is like solid. This is a solid rock because before he was, you were. I feel like maybe I'm jumping all over, but it's going to be fine. I'm just giving y'all my heart and soul. Just so that y'all can get to know me a tiny bit before I jump into this full word, I'm going to read to you my testimony, and it's 3 pages. It's not long, okay? But this is so that y'all can help, so that y'all know what the word was that he planted inside of me, okay? I know y'all are all sharing testimonies, so I'm going to share my testimony, and it's very brief. I'm going to like literally read it, okay? It starts with not my testimony, but what I feel like God is doing in the earth. So here we go. He's gathering his bride from the north and the south, the east and the west, both the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the educated and uneducated, the white, the black, the brown, the red, green, and yellow. He is gathering them all into one big, beautiful, glorious organism called the body of Christ. He is assembling them and assigning them both to one another and to the task at hand, which is to cover the earth with his glory and to be a witness to what he is actually like, to bear his name. I was called at the age of 4, sitting on my mom's lap in that old rocking chair. I was baptized when I was 12 under the leadership of my youth pastor. At the age of 16, I was filled with the Holy Spirit and called to the nations because of my dad's influence. My ears were open to the voice of God and my heart woke up to a deep love I hadn't yet known. At the age of 20, my heart broke for the orphan and wept for those that didn't know him. I prayed big prayers and dreamed big dreams of his kingdom coming to earth. I walked down the aisle when I was 23 and gave my heart to the only man I'd ever met who carried my same passion. Shortly after that, I walked through what felt like a long wilderness of depression and anxiety. But I was marked in those days by a God who loves us in our mess and comes near to us in brokenness. I was marked by his faithfulness in spite of my unfaithfulness. At the age of 28, I became a mom for the first time, and after 3 years of trying, and right smack dab in the middle of my unbelief and questioning if I'd ever get pregnant at all, Faith Elizabeth, my constant reminder that God is always giving us what we don't deserve. That's what grace is. She is an anthem of grace. When I was 29, he gave me Isaac. Shortly after, I asked for another baby while praying in my shower. Samuel came at 31, JJ at 33, and Eleanor at 35. Each child a dream of God and a longing fulfilled, each a unique story of his faithfulness and promise. Those early mothering years were marked by the God who sees us in the mundane moments and loves us in spite of our feelings. He became for me the God of the ordinary. He gave me the gift of a mind renewed by his word and his gospel, a mind aligned to his perspective. He gave me experience after experience to remind me of righteousness that comes by faith and the power of his blood. At the age of 36, he commanded me to rest my body from the labor of childbearing and to rest my soul of trying to find my purpose. At the age of 37, after that year-long respite, he commissioned me through the breaking of bread under the covering of my husband to mother a generation. And so I'm here, a living, breathing testimony of a God who walks with us through every season of life and never forgets what he's put inside of us or the promises he gives to us. I am only one that he's called, but there are many more, and he's called me to find them, to love them, and to help them so that he can return to a bride that carries the beautiful diversity of his nature, so that he can return to a radiant bride who's waiting for her groom. Wow. So my goal is for you to know the one who delights in you and who puts you in family. So I wanna start with reading. Where do I wanna start, Lord? I'm going to start with reading Proverbs 8. So I had a dark night of the soul, if you will. And in that season of my life, God began to take me out of the equation and simply show me Jesus, if that makes sense. Because I was not happy with me. I was depressed, anxious, felt like there was something wrong with me. I couldn't figure it out, couldn't discern it, couldn't wrestle with it anymore. So he just took me out of the equation and he showed me Jesus. And then he showed me that I was in him. And so sometimes you just need to know Jesus, and then he'll just put you right back into the story. So Proverbs 8, I'm going to start with, Proverbs 8, verse 22. Proverbs 8:1 starts with, listen as wisdom calls out. So wisdom is personified, okay? And so Proverbs 8 is about wisdom. Verse 12 says, I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. So we're talking about the personification of wisdom, okay? But I'm going to start with verse 22. The Lord formed me from the beginning. Before he created anything else, I was appointed in ages past. At the very first, before the earth began, I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters. Before the mountains were formed, before the hills, I was born. Before he had made the earth and fields and the first handfuls of soil, I was there when he established the heavens, when he drew the horizon on the oceans. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established springs deep in the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the seas so they would not spread beyond their boundaries. And when he marked off the earth's foundations, I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence, and how happy I was with the world he created. How I rejoiced with the human family. And so you see that this is, Jesus is the personification of wisdom. He was the architect at the Father's side. And you see that before there was ever sin, or before you ever fell, or before there was Jesus at the right hand of the Father, like lovingly and intentionally creating humanity. And I love this. It says, and how happy I was with the world that he created, how I rejoiced with the human family. Wow. And you see that, I know a lot of y'all have been through Back to the Garden and all of that, but like this can never get old. The fact that it doesn't start with sin, and the fact that it doesn't start with you. The fact that it's like literally overflowing from him. And, you know, I don't know if I've had the joy of having 5 kids. Okay. And so I think that moms are privy to certain things that, you'll experience it when you're a mom, but there's something about a created value and created identity that we get to like witness in childbirth and in raising kids. And it's something I'm so thankful for. But I always say that birth is one of the holiest things. It's the closest I've ever felt to God, and it's the most holy. It's the holiest thing I've ever experienced. Because the veil between heaven and earth is so thin. It's like you're literally like delivering into the earth realm a dream of God. And that's what it feels like. It's But here's the thing. I want to share this story because my purpose in sharing this is that Jesus was from the beginning, and you are in him. You are from the beginning in him. And so like, wow, before you knew you, he knew you. This is amazing. So I feel like I've named most of our children. I don't know. Maybe all of them. Peter. Anyways, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal, but I'm going to take y'all to the birth of Samuel King Lewis, okay, just for a moment. So I just want y'all to just think about this, okay? And I want you to put yourself here, okay? Maybe. I just want you to picture. I want you to picture the father. I want you to picture the father, okay? Hear his heart in this. Hear his heart in this. So for Samuel, I had, he was number three. And so Peter and I decided to wait until we had our, until birth to find out the gender, okay? And so we kind of had a girl name picked, but we definitely had a boy named picked, okay? But I didn't know. I had a feeling it was going to be a boy. I wasn't sure. Okay, so I'm you know, about to have this baby, don't know what it's going to be, and then here he comes. It was kind of a brutal labor in some senses, I'm not going to lie to you, because Sam has a huge head, if you've seen him, okay? Gorgeous, gorgeous boy, big head. So anyways, he's very smart, you know, he's very smart. So yeah, he's a genius. So anyways, he is a little bit of a bear to get out, but anyhow, here he is, and I'm holding him. Okay, I'm just holding him in my arms. And I'm like, is it Samuel? You know, because we had this name Samuel picked out. And like this presence came over me. And I was like, this is Samuel. And it was like, I knew in that moment that I didn't name him. I actually was like, oh, he's been named from generations past. And I just knew that I was coming into agreement with what God had named him in the millennial past. And it was one of the holiest things I've ever experienced. And I want to say that about each one of you is that you've been named by God from generations past. And he is like put inside of you like Ephesians 2:10, purposes of God in the earth to fulfill that he has done. And so, that's God's heart. Okay. I want to go to Psalm 139. And I feel like, you know, this is one of those scriptures that we often quote. But I want to say this about the writer of this scripture, David. That's Sam. Whew, it was holy. Did y'all feel that? It was crazy. It was crazy. So I want to say this about the writer, and this is really important because here I want to say this. Here are some things that sideline us. Here are some reasons why, like, you don't want to be the guy that got the red card sitting on the bench, right, in the soccer game. You want to be in the game, right? Here are the things that I think sideline us, and this is something that I personally have experienced and that I have let sideline me, okay? Rejection. Rejection can sideline us. Offense can sideline us. Pain can sideline us. And the only way to get over those things is to get an identity solely from God himself. That's why I'm talking about receiving the reality that Jesus is the delight of the Father and you are in the Son. Because this whole, the world is against God inside of you. It's against God inside of you. Whatever the word implanted in you, for me, the word implanted in me was that I was the delight of the Father. When I was 16, God came into my space. He embraced me. He loved me. I felt a love I had never known before, a love that was completely independent of anything that I'd ever done for him. It was an unconditional love. And this became my banner. He loves you. You don't have to do anything. He's you're his favorite. And do you know what word got tested? That one. Over and over and over again. By people? By circumstances? Because the devil hates the word that's planted inside of you that's actually meant to change people. That's meant to bring freedom to people. Okay, so it's really important that you don't get sidelined by rejection, offense, or the time, and this kind of goes with offense, but the timeline of God.
So big.
Like what Alzavian talked about last week, the word implanted, it's various bears fruit with patience. So if you get really upset about the timeline of God and get offended at the timeline of God, that's one way you get out of the game. So I want to say this about David, the writer of the book of Psalms, largely, is that some people say that David actually, one of the reasons that he wasn't even in the lineup whenever Samuel came to anoint the king is because some say that David was an illegitimate son. And so when he said, hey, line up all your sons, he's like, I'm not even going to put David in there. But regardless, we don't really know that for certain, but regardless, David is not in the lineup. Can you imagine? So I want to say this about father wounds and about rejection and all of those things. David had reason to have a father wound. I mean, right? It's you don't want the one that's out in the fields, right? You don't want that one, right? Because he's just a shepherd. You know, but I want to say this, and I feel like this is a word for some of you. Some of you need to you need to rewire your thinking on rejection, because all of the greats of God were rejected.
Yes.
And rejection, and this is why when I was sharing with you in regards to offense, is that if you are if you're looking for glory, look for reasons to get over offense, because all of the greats of God, actually the rejection, I believe that the reason they were rejected was because they were called by God, actually. So David was called by God, so he was rejected. Joseph was called by God, so he was rejected. Moses was called by God, so he was rejected. Jesus was called by God, so he was rejected. So if you've experienced rejection, I want to encourage you, you're probably called by God. And that's actually probably part of your story. But if you stay rejected, if you stay in that place, then you won't ever fulfill the call of God on your life. So you have to get an identity from God in the secret place. You have to get an identity from God in the secret place. You have to hear him say, you are my beloved. I like you. You're my favorite. So David, his name literally means beloved. That's literally what it means. And so here's this guy, and he's not even in the lineup, but Samuel says, and it's so beautiful, he says, the Lord tells Samuel, I look at the heart. I don't look at outward appearance. And so even the prophet, guys, and some of y'all, and I feel like this is a word, some of y'all have been rejected by the prophet, the man of God. Do you know that the man of God didn't see David?
Yeah, it's true.
The man of God didn't see David immediately. God had to rebuke the man of God.
Yeah.
So, some of you that might be trying to get an identity from a man of God, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Wow.
But David knew something.
So good.
This is what David said. This is what I believe. I believe he got in a secret place with God. And this was real to him. And he said, "You know me when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. God, I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day, and darkness and light are the same to you." And then he gets really personal and he says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, you are still with me." David had an opportunity to be identified, perhaps by the fact that he was an illegitimate son, perhaps by the fact that his father didn't even deem him worthy to be in a lineup to be king. Or he could have identified himself by the fact that he knew, "Oh, wait, no, 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 no. You formed me in my womb, in my mother's womb, God. You knit me together in the depths of the earth. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." And I feel like, you know, it's the whole idea of understanding that we are loved and intentionally formed by God. It's really, really important, because to the extent that we know that we're loved, we love ourselves, right? Like I can't love myself until I know that he loves me, and then I can love me, right? And then the word says, it says, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And then it says, "You should love your neighbor as you love yourself." And I want to say this. I think that a lot of times we're pretty decent at loving God. But we're not, and the reason why we're talking so much right now about loving one another is because to really like see this kingdom of God advance in the earth, like we can't just love him here. We have to love him. Yes. Like we have to love one another. And I think that sometimes the reason we don't love one another is because we don't love ourselves. And I think sometimes we don't love ourselves because we have experienced rejection. And we've experienced whatever is most precious to us, like being warred against, stolen, whatever it is. Or we look at somebody else and we're like, "Oh, being a Christian looks like Peter. I'm going to be like Peter." Or, you know, it's so funny, like hearing y'all a few weeks ago, like, everybody wanted to be like Al Zavian and Aaron. And I was like, this is hilarious. I'm like, they're like the billboards for Breitbart Ministries. Well, I felt like if I would go through the intensive, I would start looking like Aaron and Al Zavian. I was thinking, oh, y'all don't want to look like me? I mean, I'm Totes joking. No, but seriously, we like God has hardwired us to be loved by Him and to be like the unique person that He's called us to be. And it's really, really important that we're who we're supposed to be, because then who we are, like, it's the best billboard for Jesus.
Yes.
Like Wesley fully alive, people are like, what do you know that I don't know? Like who do you belong to? You know?
Yeah.
Well, I belong to God. I can tell because you're different.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, like Lindsay being fully who she is the best billboard for Jesus. And then when you start to put these people together, like Jesus is the head of the body, He's putting people together, you realize like me by myself is not good, but me inside of a body is really good.
Yeah.
But if I'm trying to be Lindsay, well, like that's just not going to work because Lindsay needs me to be me, you know?
Yes.
So I want to go to 1 Corinthians 12.
Watch
out. I have this picture so much, it's been like ongoing in my heart and mind for a while now, for probably, I don't know, months. And it's like, I see God's hands and I see Him doing this. And it's like, He's taking people and He's putting them together in His body, which is a building, which is the building of God. Ephesians 2:22. It says that in Him, we too are being built into a house in which God lives by His Spirit. We are being built into a house in which God lives by His Spirit. And then, so that's us. We're the body of Christ. But then we're referred to as a body. We're referred to as a building or a house. Okay. And we're the bride. It's like, okay, wow. And this is so beautiful. It's like, I loved Brianne, what you were talking about last night in regards to, I love Dan Moeller and Todd White, and I love their teaching. I had a really cool dream years ago, guys, and it's actually like so fun that I'm wearing glasses today, even because I had a dream, and at the time I was really introspective. I was feeling depressed, anxious, all the things. Okay, and I was super inward focused, and I was like, God, like, what do I need? Like, help me, God. And He gives me a dream. I mean, the Lord's so good, right? So He gives me a dream, and in my dream, Dan Moeller comes to me, and he's an eye doctor. Okay. I know, right? I mean, he's an eye doctor. He comes to me in my dream, and he breaks off a spirit. He, like, prays deliverance over me. He breaks off a spirit of oppression. And then he gives me new glasses.
Jesus.
And it was like the Lord was like, I'm going to give you new perspective.
Yes.
So I want you to listen to Dan Moeller. Yes. And Dan was like really great to listen to. It was like, I loved him and I hated him. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, that hurts so good. But like, please, like, this is, you know? But it was like he was giving me a new perspective on like a new perspective on rejection, a new perspective on being hidden or being in secret, a new perspective on trials. Like, oh, like, wait, maybe I'm in this place not to get something from God, but for God to like do something in and through me. Maybe, does that make sense? And so he was giving me new perspective. And so I love Dan and Todd so much because they give that. And also, I loved what you shared about how like sometimes with that teaching, it's like you're tempted to feel like you're an island, if that makes sense. Like you're not impacted by anybody, you know? So that like taken to an extreme is like, wait, we're supposed to like rightly need one another. We're supposed to rightly be connected to one another, yeah. You know? And I just want to say, that's not what they're not saying that. Yeah. But what I love about like 1 Corinthians 12 is like, well, I'm just going to read it because, you know, whatever, public reading of scripture, you know? But there's just this interdependence, right? That we're so desperately in need of one another. And so I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12, one body with many parts. I'm going to start in verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. Can you imagine? A leg? Seriously, think about just like a leg. Not connected to the body. I think we literally do this.
Yeah.
We let our differences separate us. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts, okay, yeah, Selah. Thank you, sweetie, because I felt the Holy Spirit on that. I feel like, and we might have a response time later, like a little altar call. Because I've been there. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. I feel like there are probably some in the room who have heard someone say, I don't need you. How you are, we don't do that here. We don't need that here. I want to say, as like one sitting in a place of hear this from God. We do need you.
Yes.
We need you to be you.
Yeah.
Whatever the lie that was spoken, mm-hmm. I don't need you. Hear the Lord say, no, 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 no. I formed you in your mother's womb. We need you. We need you to be the you that you were created to be. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually, the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. I feel that there are some who feel covered as if you're not important. And he's actually saying, no, you're actually the most precious, so I'm covering you. I'm actually showing special care to you. New perspective.
Yes.
An elevated perspective of God. Why? Maybe you're hidden for a reason. Maybe you're hidden because you're the most important. Well, you have to get that from him. You have to hear him. You have to hear him say that. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen. While the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God, Jesus, the head of the body, the one who formed you intentionally, created you, knit you together. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to the parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to work miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And then he goes on, obviously, into 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about love. We don't all have all the gifts because we're designed by him, put together by him to need one another. And he puts us where he wants us. And there are gifts that come out of you that only come out of you. And they're gifts, so you didn't earn them. He just put them inside of you as he saw fit because he saw you from the beginning. And he designed you from the beginning to carry these things because he is filling the earth with his glory and you're part of that. And being part of you're part of, it's not just you manifesting the glory of God, it's you within the body of people that's manifesting the glory of God. I'm going to read one more scripture, and then we can kind of open it up for discussion or response. I also have one more song, and we can pray together. When I was, I shared this with the women at the women's retreat, but when I was, I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 16 years old. And shortly after I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 16, one of the gifts God gave me was the gift of prayer. I just started praying. That was just literally what came out of me was intercession. But shortly after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I really thought that the Lord, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, that this was the fire that was not going to burn out, that I was going to just like burn until Jesus came home. And like 3 days later, this fire that was so real felt a million miles away. And I was really, really mad at God, because I really, really wanted to please God and never felt like I quite could do that. So I was really disappointed. And so I just kind of said, God, if you're real, you better just show up because I'm really tired of trying to please you. And it was at that point that I heard the voice of God for the first time. And he said, Christy, I love you and you don't have to do anything. And I just cried like a baby. I sat down and I felt the love of God for the first time. It was an experiential revelation of God. I heard it here and I felt it here. And I, in a moment, became an entirely new person. And the light bulb switched on in my head. And all of a sudden, when I read the Bible, I was like, oh my gosh, this whole thing is all about grace. What's grace? I had no idea. What I thought I was saved by grace, but I had no idea what grace is. And I realized that I thought that everything in Christianity was about what I could do for God. And I realized it was all about what he did for me. And I became infatuated and obsessed with this God who loved me first. And I was like, everybody needs to know the unconditional love of God. And so, I read the book of Ephesians. That was the first book that I read after I had this radical encounter with God. And I remember every single verse. I just like wanted to do cartwheels after every single verse because it was the best news that I'd ever read in my entire life. So Ephesians is a very highlighted book in my Bible, but I want to share with you Ephesians 3, verse 10, because this just goes along with what we're talking about in light of your design, and how you are meant to be, to fit together in the body, and that is God's purpose in the earth, how, you know, make us a rainbow, Lord, please make us one, how God wants you to be the unique color put together with the other colors to create a picture of God in the earth. And it says in Ephesians 3, verse 10, it says, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church, which is the body, right, to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so God has this plan to display his wisdom in its rich variety. Babe, what does your version say?
3:10?
Yeah, yes.
Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places.
Manifold wisdom. Oof. Doesn't that phrase just hit? The manifold wisdom of God? That the wisdom of God is not black and white? Wow. It's living color. It's manifold. Wow. And that you, being you grafted into the family he's grafted you into is his plan to defeat the rulers in the unseen realm? I mean, this is crazy. So I would hate, and wouldn't it be so sad if you're the color blue and you're trying to be yellow?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you should let, like, I'm going to let Aaron be yellow, you know, and I'm going to be pink because that's God's plan to defeat the rulers in the unseen realm.
Yeah.
Is that he's going to display this manifold wisdom and its rich variety. Okay, so there we go, guys. That's it. That's what I got. No, but this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do because I want to have a response time, and I do have another song to play. But I don't want to, like, we have some time. But this is what I feel in my heart. There were some scriptures that as I was reading, I was feeling the Lord, like, highlighting them. Like, if you have felt like who I am is not who I'm supposed to be. Or wow, I was actually, like, pretty certain that I felt pretty good about me, and then this person said this, and then now I'm not so sure. And there's, like, an uncertainty. And you're, like, afraid. You're afraid to be that person. Or you feel like you feel like you are looking at someone else and thinking, you know, to look like Jesus means I need to look like that. Or maybe you don't have a real awareness of feeling like you were intentionally created by God. Or maybe you're having a really hard time with feeling safe around people. Because maybe you were in a community and you didn't feel like you could be you. And you're having a hard time really, like, opening your heart here because, like, you did that there and that didn't work out very well, and so you've been hiding. And that might not be the case, that maybe it's like one person in the room, I don't know, but we need everybody on the team.
If this episode has been impactful to you, I want to encourage you to share it with a friend and subscribe to the Braveheart podcast to stay up to date with the latest episodes. We love you. We bless you. Be brave.